Listener's discretion is advised. Good evening to all the parties who are listening here tonight on this Saturday edition of Random Stuff. And not only this is this Saturday edition of Random Stuff, but also the first episode in the month of August of 2023. And why don't we start it off with the aftermath of the final group stage game or match between the USA and Portugal. Yes, this is the last one for Team USA before going into the knockout stage against Sweden. And the knockout stage between Team USA and Team Sweden will happen Sunday. But it's going to be a Sunday morning in the Western Hemisphere stuff. But it's going to be probably night there, or maybe Sunday afternoon, I don't know, I'm in this other side, alright, I have no idea what's going on, I don't know what happens in the other world, but, you know, it's there, but anyways, that's the start of round 16, but first, let's go back to the aftermath of the final group stage. As Team USA and Portugal ended with a tie of mil-mil. And Carly Lloyd was mad when she saw the team celebrated like there's no tomorrow after making it to the knockout stage. And the TikTok account called Casey's on the Case has something in mind after what Carly Lloyd said, but here was her post on TikTok about this comments that Carly Lloyd made thanks to at Casey's on the Case.
Let's talk about Carly Lloyd's comments about the U.S. Women's National Team not having the winning mentality and the singing and dancing and whatever being inappropriate. If you aren't familiar, here's a video of the first portion of her reaction to seeing footage of the U.S. Women's National Team players on the field post-match.
We should be expecting to see from a team that survived Portugal and survived to get to the round of 16. I appreciate them taking care of the fans, but let me tell you, Carly Lloyd's butt would be back in the locker room kicking things, throwing things.
I have never witnessed, and just seeing these images for the first time right now on the desk, I have never witnessed something like that. There's a difference between being respectful of the fans and saying hello to your family, but to be dancing, to be smiling. I mean, the player of the match was that post. You're lucky to not be going home right now.
She continued her comments, it started to shift post-2020. Huh, you mean like when you left the program? Interesting, Carly. I think there's just a lot of off-the-field things that are happening. You never want to take anything for granted. You put on that jersey and you want to give everything you have for the people that came before you, for the people that are going to come after you, and I'm just not seeing that passion. I've said it before on here, I'll say it again. Carly Lloyd only has one criticism because she doesn't know how to do technical analysis or figure out what else is going on. It's just grit and dig deeper because that's what she was as a player. Credit to Vlatko for one thing here. In his post-game interview, he defended his team and was like, this is insane to me to question their passion. So I appreciate he's got his players' backs here. Carly Lloyd, of course, didn't react to the team huddle where Kelly O'Hara was telling everybody to shake it off, we're through, on to the next one, which is all you can really say in this situation. I have no issue with them greeting the fans and with them smiling and joking. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go be grumpy about a terrible match forever until Sweden? One of the biggest criticisms you could level against this team is it doesn't seem like they're having fun. They're not playing with confidence. They're not playing with joy. You don't get those things back by getting down on yourself. You get them back by finding the levity, finding those moments that make you want to play for each other. They are in a very difficult situation right now, emotionally and psychologically. These are the moments where you trust your veteran leadership. This is what they do best. They're going to take a look at this team, figure out what they need to mentally be ready to go in the round of 16 in what is going to be a very difficult match, likely against Sweden. So if those players decided that what everybody needed was some laughs, what everybody needed was to go get reinvigorated by the fans, that's the right thing to do. They're there. They know what's going on. Carly, did you have any friends on this team? Because half of these people in senior leadership, like, know you quite well, and you know them. Where is your respect for them and what they bring? Do you have any, or are you just still bitter that you got sent home?
God damn, Casey went off. Now, a lot of people have supported Carly Lloyd for these comments because of, Carly Lloyd is Carly Lloyd, but what I really think is Carly Lloyd is being like Ozzie Guillen. Ozzie Guillen criticizes the White Sox for playing terribly, which is, he has the right thing to do, but also, he doesn't even like the White Sox anymore. I don't think, even when they won, ugly or something like that, I don't think he was impressed inside and outside. And not only that, he just wants to get some money. So is Carly, I think. I don't know. She gets paid to do her job. And not only that, Carly Lloyd seemed to be bitter. And I think that Carly is praying to God that, please, Sweden, eliminate Team USA so I can talk shit. I mean, talk more shit about Team USA being mediocre. That's exactly what she was thinking right now. But their coach, the coach of Team USA, had a response of this statement by Carly Lloyd.
Carly Lloyd, after the game, blasted the team, saying the performance was lackluster and uninspiring, adding that they don't seem to be showing passion and look like they're taking things for granted. Other commentators on Fox also referred to them as 11 bears in hibernation. Is there anything you want to say in response?
I mean, the one thing that I want to say is that this team wanted to win this game more than anything else, and they've put everything they could in preparation for this tournament and in every game that they go. So to question the mentality of this team, to question the willingness to win, to compete, I think it's insane. But I've never seen this team step on the field and not try hard or not compete. So everyone is entitled to opinion, and that, you know, they can say whatever they want, but I just know how this team feels, and it's not like we played well by any means. We owned it. We know it's not good enough. We know we're not happy with our performance, but we qualified for the next round. We're moving on.
Well, I gotta give it to the manager, Coach Vlatko, for that response, for defending the squad or the club. Carly Lloyd, do you have any response? Oh. Okay. Why don't we get to the watch party? Now, Fox Sports, on their X account, yes, I said X account, it's no longer called Twitter because of Elon Musk. Blame him for that one. But on the X account, for Fox Sports' X account, that is, Heather Riley, a former member of Team USA's national soccer team, for the women's side of things, she had a pep talk for this year's Team USA at the FIFA Women's World Cup 23 after the match against Portugal ended in a draw, and here's what she had to say.
We're going to turn it over to our very own Heather O'Reilly, who's going to give us a little pump-up speech. As we got into the knockout rounds, once again, we booked our ticket to the big dance, as it were. One phase of the tournament is over, a new phase is starting, so take it away, Heather O'Reilly.
Yeah, guys, as we said before the tournament, this thing gets broken into two events. The group stage and then the knockouts, right? So in that way, the U.S. has done its job. It's done what it set out to do, right? It got through the group. It wasn't pretty at times, but that's something to almost celebrate. You just played like shit for the entire group, and you're through, and you have this second life, and that's what the U.S. is so good at. You take your chances, and you make them count, and I want to look forward. I don't want to look back. I want to look forward to what they have coming ahead of them is probably Sweden. But the one thing I'll move back to is 2015. Everybody, including you guys, were talking about our team that, like, I don't know if they have it. I don't know if Joel Els has it. I don't know if this group of players could put it together because our group play wasn't spectacular, right? Something very familiar happened that's happening right now. We have a yellow card issue. Right now it's Roosevelt that can't play in the next game. In 2015, it was Lauren Chaney. What happened? Carly Lloyd gets moved up the field. Fireworks happen. We gain momentum, and we go on to win the World Cup, right? So they have a very similar opportunity ahead of them to do something spectacular. They have the talent. They have the staff. I truly believe they have the staff. I think Vlach Malinovskyi, he's a conservative manager. He hates giving up goals. And in that case, he only gave up one goal the entire group play. So, like, done and dusted, job done. I don't think that we're going to, like, blow out teams the rest of the way, but we have to be okay as a fan base and as pundits that we are going to get the job done game by game. And I think that the U.S. has this mentality in them. They do. They have it in them. These veterans have it in them. The young players have it in them to do something great. And I think as a nation, we have to stand behind them because as a player, you can feel it. I could feel it in 2015 when I had the entire nation behind us. And it's a powerful thing. So I would challenge everybody to get behind the team, get behind the staff. You can be critical, but we all have to be rowing in the same direction to have some success for this squad.
Heather O'Reilly, everyone.
Hail for
We're
president.
Ending the show there. That was amazing.
Hail for president.
Yeah, Heather O'Reilly. That was a great pep talk right there. And in just a few minutes, Sunday morning, 2 a.m. Pacific time, that'll be 5 a.m. Eastern. Team USA will have to put up or shut up against Team Sweden if they want to clinch their spot to the next round, which is round of 8, and then round of 4, and then the final 2, where they could have an opportunity to go 3 in a row, but they're in jeopardy. They're in jeopardy. I am, like, scared to death. I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll get to hear it by the time we get to the tomorrow's edition of Random Stuff Season 4 tomorrow night. But until then, folks, after this brief ad, well, Donald Trump got indicted for the third time. Well, what the fuck happened now? Well, we're going to get to it. So stay tuned, folks, on this first episode in the month of August 2023, right here of Random Stuff, Season 4.
This Valentine's Day, give her a gift she'll cherish forever. A shreddable arrangement. A gorgeous bouquet of official classified documents, handpicked from the homes of presidents and vice presidents who just happen to have them lying around. Choose from
what I call scent of Corvette. Breathe in the aroma of sweet leather seats mingled with Iranian military secrets that were sitting on the floor of my garage next to an old can of WD-40, Jack.
Or perhaps, by God's grace, your betrothed prays for something spiritual. Might I suggest Mother May I, a Pence family collection of Space Force secrets and prayers for Jerusalem, handsomely displayed in an empty carton of lactate. 2%.
Shut up, loser! The most romantic arrangement by far is from Trump. Grab him by the peonies, a fantastic bouquet of nuclear codes from Melania's shoe closet at Mar-a-Lago. The finest, most top-secret documents, lovingly crumpled by my own tiny hands and flushed down a toilet of solid gold. Wow.
Breathtaking, original, and highly illegal. Shreddable arrangements for secrets worth keeping.
Available at Walgreens.
Thank you.
back, folks, on this Saturday night edition of Random Stuff Season 4. It's also the first episode in the month of August of 2023. Now, I haven't gotten this far in a while, and I haven't get to this segment in a while, too. But here we are again because of the former president, who is the 45th president of the United States, a.k.a. Donald J. Trump. We once again ask this question. It is a segment once ran by the host of The Late Show on CBS during Donald Trump's European tour called...
Why in the world is Donald Trump?
In this Why in the World is Donald Trump segment is where we get to hear something that has been done twice before. I've said this before we got into the brief ad, but instead of me saying it again, we'll have someone else say it. And that's, well, Jack Smith. So, here you go.
Good evening. Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. The indictment was issued by a grand jury of citizens here in the District of Columbia, and it sets forth the crimes charged in detail. I encourage everyone to read it in full. The attack on our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election. The men and women of law enforcement who defended the U.S. Capitol on January 6th are heroes. They are patriots and they are the very best of us. They did not just defend a building or the people sheltering in it. They put their lives on the line to defend who we are as a country and as a people. They defended the very institutions and principles that define the United States. Since the attack on our Capitol, the Department of Justice has remained committed to ensuring accountability for those criminally responsible for what happened that day. This case is brought consistent with that commitment, and our investigation of other individuals continues. In this case, my office will seek a speedy trial so that our evidence can be tested in court and judged by a jury of citizens. In the meantime, I must emphasize that the indictment is only an allegation and that the defendant must be presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. I would like to thank the members of the Federal Bureau of Investigation who are working on this investigation with my office, as well as the many career prosecutors and law enforcement agents from around the country who have worked on previous January 6th investigations. These women and men are public servants of the very highest order, and it is a privilege to work alongside them. Thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. For the third time ever, the former President of the United States, Donald John Trump, has been indicted. Oh my God. I wonder how the people reacted to this one. Well, now let's see how Trump's allies reacted to the third Trump indictment. Shall we though? Maybe not. Okay, fuck it. Let's do it anyway. Let's roll the tape, folks. Yeah, pretty unsettling. Even the people in the GOP networks like Fox News and Newsmax who are on the defensive mode once again after the third indictment, from Jesse Waters to Sean Fannity Hannity to Rudy Poo Candy Ass Giuliani to basically all of Trump's allies. Yeah, that includes Fox Network and Newsmax. So, let's listen to the meltdown.
And Garland's prosecutors are bloodthirsty for Donald Trump. He was just indicted today on January 6th. How do you stomach that?
You know, I don't know how you can indict someone for claiming there was fraud in the election. Many on the left say, oh, well, there was no fraud because the court said so. Well,
Sean, this indictment is the legal equivalent of the French guillotine, the reign of terror. This is a mob mentality to take out Donald Trump. They are criminalizing free speech. They are criminalizing resistance to the deep state. They are criminalizing the questioning of an election result. They are criminalizing any resistance to Democrat officials in the states who violated election laws. They are criminalizing anyone who resists DOJ on any level, on any policy matter whatsoever. Free speech will not survive if this indictment succeeds.
Isn't it curious that the timing always happens to be hours, literally hours, after there's bad news about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, then they throw an indictment?
Oh,
you
want to
know when indictment number four is coming? It's going to come.
It's
going to come the next time we have Hunter Biden news. That's when it's going to come out of Georgia.
The strange thing here is the people lying are the people bringing this. And this count they have here, conspiracy against rights. They should be indicted for conspiracy against rights for bringing this indictment. It's a conspiracy against.
So Mr. Mayor, no one.
I don't possess any information that is inculpatory. I mean, I know they have written lies in the newspaper. I cooperated against them like hell I did. There's nothing to cooperate about. If I cooperated against them, you should put me in jail for perjury. I don't have any information that he violated any law. What I do have is I would seriously consider indicting them for 18 U.S.C. Section 241 for indicting a man for exercising his right of free speech. That's a conspiracy against rights. This one will be your legacy, violating the right of free speech of an American citizen. Never mind whether he was present or not. It could be anybody. It could be a homeless person. You don't get to violate people's First Amendment rights, Smith, no matter who the hell you are or no matter how sick you are with Trump derangement syndrome. And this isn't the first time you've acted like an unethical lawyer. It should be the last.
After these political war crimes have been perpetrated on him, Donald Trump is in the best position he's been in so far to win re-election. Can you believe that? At which point he'll have to pardon himself immediately. And don't you think for a second he's not going to unleash hell on all of his political enemies. This is only the beginning of politicians putting other politicians and their families in prison. Sad we had to go down this road, but this is where we are, and now we have to finish it. That point that Lara just made, let's say the president, after the election, during the controversy, gets sent affidavits about election fraud or gets sent reports about election fraud, and let's just say, I don't know, Philly. And he says, you guys in Philly, you legislators, look into this. Can you guys hold a hearing? Can you guys investigate? Or maybe send in some Trump electors, and if it shakes out differently, they're on standby. How is that a crime?
It is not a crime at all. Actually, what goes on here is that legally you're going to look at what his intent was. Did he actually believe, as Laura pointed out, that there was misconduct? And I don't think there's a question that a lot of Americans still believe that there was misconduct in the 2020 election. So does that mean that if you raise concerns, then you will be criminally indicted and charged for constitutionally bringing out your First Amendment rights? It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. We've also seen videos come out that prove that there has been ballot harvesting, things of that nature. So this is a really difficult case, frankly, from a legal perspective to bring, and it's weak as can be. And we saw Jack Smith today. He was as nervous as anyone I've ever seen, and he has a good reason to, because he knows it's politically motivated and it's election interference at its finest.
Clay Travis, how do you...
I get what's going on, but I think it's more than that. Look, I can't go anywhere. My husband, Eric, can't go anywhere these days without people coming up and saying, we see what's going on. Please thank your father-in-law. Please let him know that we are praying for him. He is the only hope we have left for this country. People are starting to get it. They cannot continue to have the wool pulled over their eyes, and they are starting to understand what's really going on here.
His poll numbers will continue to go up. I really believe that those other people running in the Republican race should stand up, speak out in support of President Trump, talk about how this is an injustice unlike we've ever seen with our Department of Justice going after an innocent man. And frankly, they should suspend their campaigns and step behind and support President Trump and the American people so we can save this great country.
Let's be very clear at the start here tonight. This is an incredibly weak, baseless, convoluted indictment. It is bizarrely centered around what is clearly protected speech, zero criminal statutes, because there are none that were applicable that are actually written into law. It is based on an obscure law from the Civil War. So let's be even more clear. This indictment is frankly not worth the paper that it's printed on. This is a political persecution through and through.
Yep, a typical behavior of a Trump ally. By Darth Trump Vader. Of course, he will defend him through and through and through. And not only that, folks. He went on a rampage on his Truth Social account with, I hear that deranged Jack Smith, in order to interfere with the presidential election of 2024, will be putting out yet another fake indictment of your favorite president, me, at 5 o'clock p.m. Why didn't they do this 2.5 years ago? Why did they wait so long? Because they wanted to put it right in the middle of my campaign. Prosecutional misconduct. I know. Yes, Trump has gone more deranged than ever before. Like that guy from the American Psycho movie. Now, before the announcement of the indictment by Jack Smith, here's how the people of CNN, led by Anderson Cooper, how they reacted to this breaking news on August 1st of 2023.
Our panel here in New York, Ellie Honig, you've been looking at what we just got. What do you see?
Yeah, first of all, big picture, this is momentous. This will be one of the most consequential prosecutions in our country's history, if not the most consequential. This indictment goes right to the core of our democracy. And I think it's helpful. There's a section in the indictment where they break this scheme down into five distinct parts. First of all, they say this all started with false claims of election fraud. And it's really important to note, DOJ says explicitly Donald Trump knew that he lost. He made knowingly false claims. Second, they launched this seven-state strategy to pressure state and local officials to overturn the results. Third, they used, weaponized, to coin a phrase, the Justice Department to try to lend its heft to these false claims of election fraud and to try to pressure states. Fourth, they pressured the vice president, Mike Pence, to do something that they knew was unconstitutional and illegal. And finally, they tie in the actual January 6th violence. And here's what the allegation is. That Donald Trump and his co-conspirators, not charged in this indictment, quote, exploited the disruption by redoubling efforts to levy false claims of election fraud. So that's sort of a five-chapter assessment of how DOJ sets up these conspiracies that they've charged here.
The importance of them saying, the government saying that Donald Trump knew they were false, yep, is, I mean, that's big.
That goes right to his intent. We've talked about it so many times. They are alleging Donald Trump absolutely knew that these claims of election fraud were false, or at an absolute minimum, any reasonable person should have known. And based on my first quick reading of this, they make quite a powerful showing to that effect.
Well, listen, that's one of the questions we have been asking based on who they were calling in to speak to investigators is, do they have people who can say what was going on in the head of Donald Trump, that they had evidence that he knew.
Right, and I include myself in that, having shared that he shared with me he knew he lost the election. I want to note one thing. This is the third indictment of the former president, but the first for actions during his time as president. So that in and of itself makes it a historic moment. What I think he is going to hate in reading this is that, frankly, his best legal defense is going to say, I was too foolish and ignorant to know that I lost the election. I did not understand our democratic process well enough to know that these schemes do not work, that I do not have the right to engage in what my lawyers are presenting. It, frankly, pleading ignorance and stupidity is the best legal defense, and he's going to hate that. But one thing that I think is kind of remarkable about this moment, the third indictment, he's got muscle memory now. I'm just looking at the first statements coming out. His allies are lining up around him. Sitting members of Congress, senators are defending him. They are coordinated. They have decided what the line is. This is about Hunter Biden. It's the weaponization of the DOJ. He was ready for this. That's a scary moment for our country.
Ben, look, I feel kind of sick. You know, I think for all day, it was kind of almost this giddy feeling like, oh, he's going to be indicted. He's not going to be indicted. It didn't, when it actually happened, I remember sitting here with January 6th and watching the violence, watching what was going on and being shocked and appalled. And if you had told me it would take 2.5 years before we as a country said, that's not good, President Trump, that's not good. I mean, if you ask a fifth grade class, can you cheat, can you lie, can you defraud, can you use violence to get your way? A fifth grade class would say you can't. Well, the federal government just told Donald Trump, you can't do that. And what I like about this indictment is it's just that simple. You are a fraudster, sir, and you can't do that. You lied. You can't do that. You tried to cheat. You can't do that. I think normal Americans can understand this and will understand the gravity of what just happened. Tiff Duncan, do you believe it?
Donald Trump's situation just went from a friendly game of checkers to a game of cutthroat 3D chess, right? He now has a list of co-conspirators that are going to literally be fighting for their own freedom, and they don't really care to be in the cool kids club anymore like so many people fell victim to. I think his situation gets even more complicated because with one indictment, it maybe feels like you can explain political, pent-up energy behind it. Then two, now three. He's also caught in between a rock and a hard place. He's in some instances saying he didn't do something. In some instances, he's trying to use the guise that he was president and he was protected. And so he's bouncing back and forth, and I think it's just going to continue to weigh on him.
You know, this one's different. This is different from the indictments we've seen before. It's very different from the hush money payment case. It's also very different from the classified documents case. I mean, when you read this indictment, there are sections in here about the way our Constitution works, the way we cast and count our electoral ballots. It doesn't get more fundamental.
I mean, this strikes at the very heart of our democracy.
Exactly. That's exactly what it does. And they make a point. And another important point that is made right up front in this indictment, they say there are legal ways you can contest an election. They make a point of saying that.
Right. It even says on the second page that he has the right to make false statements. He has the right to lie about the election results. I think what is, I think, most striking is that the other cases, they're only historic because this doesn't usually happen. See, the president stole some documents, maybe he did something bad with them, he's lying about it. You got to slap him on the wrist. You got to do something because it's wrong. He's impeding justice in the porn star case. You got it. But these are kind of technical things. There's actual harm to our country if this type of thing becomes normal. If anybody who's...
I mean, this is essentially a coup. I mean, we would look at this in any other country,
you would say,
and say this was a coup
attempt. If you look at this indictment, this is describing a coup attempt in our country. And so this is the 100 years from now that everybody's going to know about and look at. And if he gets away with it in our court system, shame on us. But this is the biggest, to your point, it's probably the biggest prosecution in the history of the country.
Well, and it resonates with the public because we all saw the footage on January 6th. You knew how you felt. You know how even allies who are now defending him came out and condemned him that day. It's hard to argue with it. But to underscore what you said, I think of our adversaries abroad. I think of our allies abroad. It shows that democracy is a fragile thing, and it is not something that we can necessarily expect we're going to have if half the country is refusing to accept these realities.
Could you imagine being 78 years old after being the president of the United States and waking up just a few short years later dealing with these indictments and just coming to reckon with what that actually feels like? I mean, whether Donald Trump feels it or not, I don't know. But the average American doesn't see that as a goal in life, to be 78 and to be in multiple indictments across state and federal levels and to continue to grow. And oh, by the way, we expect to see a Fulton County indictment coming at some point in the near future, too.
Yeah.
Now, the real question is, will the Trump allies be able to find a way to bail him out again? Well, probably the answer is yes, but the one thing that I thought of on Wednesday during the Five, a show on Fox News, Jesse Waters wanted the Republicans to impeach Biden, like, now. So, you know what they wanted. They wanted hell and high water and vengeance and, of course, maybe going after a rampage against Biden. All because they're going after Donald Trump for, and I quote, doing nothing wrong. Which, of course, we all know Trump did something wrong. They just don't want to deny it. I mean, they're just denying it. They don't want to admit it. They're defending Trump like they've never defended anyone before. Like a human shield into a... or the giant man. But anyways, who knows? But after this brief ad, we're gonna listen to a song... actually from the entire Power Rangers franchise that started... because Power Rangers is celebrating 30 years of existence... after adapting stuff from the Super Sentai series. I'll tell you more, so stay tuned when we come back.
Eggs, they're impossible. Holding them, cracking them, making them hot, but not anymore. Thanks to the Egg Wizard. The Egg Wizard makes perfect eggs every time, and it's the only kitchen product guaranteed to fight the secret cabal of Satan-worshipping cannibals who control our water supply. No more messy counters. No more sloppy plates. No more George Soros lizard men. The Egg Wizard makes eggs easy. As easy as it was for Mr. Rogers to fake his own death and live under an assumed name in Cuba until he receives the signal to return at the head of an army of child patriots and arrest Bo and Sonny Obama.
When I tried Egg Wizard, I thought, there's no way a single product can make great eggs, fluffy meringue, and stop the Trilateral Commission from using IKEA.com to plant DNA gathering devices in our furniture so that Oprah can clone us for organ meat. But it can!
Order now with promo code THEGATHERINGISNIGH and we'll throw in a free Toastinator. You'll love the way it makes toast, but you know who won't? The swarm of sentient cyber hornets who call themselves Hillary Clinton.
We back, folks, on this Saturday edition of Random Stuff, Season 4, on the first Saturday of the month of August, 2023. Now let's get to what I've said before the brief ad about the 30 years of Power Rangers. Why don't we go back to the very beginning? The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And here is the theme song of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, called Go Go Power Rangers, composed by Ron Wasserman.
Power.
Well, there you have it. The theme song of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers called Go Go Power Rangers. Composed by Ron Wasserman, who had a band called Aaron Waters and the Mighty Raw. Well, after this brief ad, folks, we wrap up the first Saturday and the first episode of the month of August 2023 for the Season 4 of Random Stuff. Stay tuned, folks. Closed captioning for this podcast is brought to you by the following.
At ConocoPhillips, we drill oil in the most inhospitable places on Earth, from the baking desert to the frozen tundra. And when burning that oil causes the tundra to become unfrozen, we don't give up. We refreeze that tundra using giant chillers. And when burning the oil to power the chillers causes catastrophic hurricanes and flooding, we don't back down. We build a humongous impenetrable dome over our drills and move inside with all our money. Food runs low, but we don't quit. We turn to cannibalism, feasting on human flesh to keep on drilling until the Earth's destroyed and everyone's dead. But do we quit then? Yes, then I guess we quit. ConocoPhillips, maybe we didn't think this through.
Well, we do appreciate your honesty. It's just...
And bye.
Are you tired of woke brands cramming their liberal agendas down your throat? Then cram these down instead. Mr. Paul's Cisgender Fish Sticks, the antidote to the left-wing corporations who want to tell you how to think.
Wait, what's in these?
We start with 100% fresh Atlantic cod, then our team of marine psychologists.
Did you say marine psychologists?
Quiet, cuck. Then our team of marine psychologists make sure each and every delicious, unsustainably caught cod identifies as his or her confirmed biological gender, just as Jesus tweeted.
I don't think fish can be trans.
Not in this box they can't.
That's not what I meant.
Mr. Paul's Cisgender Fish Sticks, assigned delicious at birth.
I think it's a boy.
Yeah, taste the penis, Mr. Paul.
Folks, that is it for this Saturday edition of Random Stuff on the first episode in the month of August on this Saturday. Now, be sure to tune in tomorrow for more. So, good night, folks, and stay safe on this wild, hot summer season, folks.